Okay, boys. Today's daf is daf Yud Dalid. We're starting the final line of daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, where the Gemara first quotes from the pasuk Vayomer Hamelech LaHaman HaKesef Nosun Loch VeYom Lasis Boy Katoy BeInecha. Right before that, it says in the pasuk that Haman said to Achashverosh, Im Al Melech Toiv Yikosev Li Abdom VaAseres Alofim Kikar Kesef. What Haman was doing was, he said to Achashverosh, I want you to issue a terrible decree against Klal Yisrael, Chas V'Sholem, and I'm going to pay you for it. Aseres Alofim Kikar Kesef. 10,000 Kikar Kesef. That's a lot of money. Says the Melech to Haman, you can keep all the money. I don't need it. You can take Klal Yisrael and do with them whatever you want. So Amar of Abba, top of Yedalan Amar Aleph, Moshe the Achashverosh for Haman, the Mahadov Doime. I'll give you a marshal to these two wonderful people, Achashverosh and Haman. L'shnei b'nei Adam li'echad hoyu lo'y tel b'teich sadeu li'echad hoyu lo'y chritz b'teich sadeu. You had two people. Each one of them had a field. Each one of them wanted to level out his field to be able to go and plant and grow or build or whatever. Both of them had a problem with the field. One of them had a tel. Tel means a large heap. A small hill on top of his field. The other one had a charitz, the other one had an indentation, a hole in the field, like a bar. And the Baal Charitz Omar, Mi yitan li tel zeh bedamim, halavai that someone should be able to go and supply me with the earth to go and fill up this major pothole that I have here in the middle of the field, which is causing me trouble. Baal Tel Omar, Mi yitan li charitz zeh bedam. Halavai, somebody should go and give me a hole where I can go and deposit all of this extra dirt because I don't need it. And guess what? Liyam niz dav gezeh etzel zeh. One day they finally met each other. Omar li baal charitz le baal tel, mechor li tilcha. I heard that you have a tail to go and sell. Please sell me the tail. Omar loy, toil oyse bechinam. Vahalavai. I don't need it. Halavai, you can go and take it for free and go and get your U-Haul people and just take all the dirt and haul it off. And I don't charge you a penny. That's the end of the mashal. The nimshal is very, very simple. That here you have Haman, who we always think of as being the arch enemy of Klal Yisrael, being the terrible Russia. And he's saying, to guarantee and to seal the deal, I'll pay you an extra 10,000 kikar kesef. Says Achashverosh back to him, you have to give me money, keep every penny. I don't need the Jews, do whatever you want with them, just get rid of them, don't even talk about it. And so therefore, it's just like the person with the tel and the charitz. This was a perfect marriage between Haman and Achashverosh. Both of them were Soinu Yisrael, both of them were terrible Rishoyim. And so therefore, he said, I'll be happy to give you the money. He said, keep the money, I don't need it. Do me a favor, take the Jews off my hands, I'll be very happy.
Well, as Vashti had a tell, she grew a tell, so he could have used...
How would the Jews burdensome?
That's an English tale.
I know.
I realize.
Shelley didn't say it.
Because Shelley's not on yet. Otherwise, he would say
it. It's Gemara on for Friday, but I thought I'd...
Perfect. The modern perfect. Tel Aviv, Tel Aviv,
exactly.
Tel Adashim, yeah.
Hill Spring.
Mm-hmm. How would the Jews burdensome to Achashverosh?
How are the Jews burdensome to anybody in the world today? Yet, how many people...
Stam Sinus Chinam.
It's been that way ever since Esav, and that's the way it's going to be until Mashiach comes. V'yosre melech es tabatoi. The melech took off his tabas to go and seal the evil decree. Omer of Abba Bar Kahana, G'duy lahasor es tabas, yuysu me'arboim u'shmoyne nevi'im v'sheva nevi'ois, shenisnabu lehen li Yisra. This removal of the signet ring to go and sign the evil decree, that had more of an effect, more of a hashpo'ah on Klal Yisrael, than all of the nevuah and teichacha that we heard from 48 male nevi'im and 7 female nevi'ois. All of their divrei musar and teichacha didn't do the trick to get them all to do tshuva. Fil hasores tabas. Just the removal of that signet ring, that 1 second removal, all of a sudden everybody did tshuva. The Marsho or other Mefarshim say that the reason why this Gemara follows directly after the previous Gemara, and it speaks about the Yosar Melech es Tabatoi, is because under normal circumstances you would assume that the government is kind of neutral, nishtehina nishteheh. But now that we see from this previous Gemara, and from the Psukim, that Achashverosh was just as wicked as Haman, and he said, keep all the money, I don't need it. as if to say, keep the tell, keep the chritz, I don't need it like we had in the Moshul and the Nimshul. So they saw the terrible anti-Semitism on the part of Achashverosh, and therefore they said, uh-oh, not only is he anti-Semitic, but he has the power to do what he wants, because he has the tabas. So the combination of those two, Hechzi Ras and Lamutiv, caused them all to do tshuva. Tan Rabban, Arbo Mishmoyna Neviim, Veshevan Neviois, Nestambul Hem Yisrael. These 48 Nevi'im and 77 Nevi'ois said Nevuah, but they didn't add or subtract anything from the Torah except for the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, which they, if you will, created. Now the question is, what about Ner Chanukah? Isn't that also a later day creation of the Nevi'im? That's Rashi's Kasha, third, fourth line from the top of the Yom, Chutz Mikra Megillah, fourth line, Vim Toimar. Ner Chanukah, isn't that also something that they were moisif to the Torah? And says Rashi, Kvar Pasku Anavim, Avamei Mordechai, Hoye Chagai, Zecharia, Umalachi. The times of Mordechai, there was still Nevi'im left. And in fact, the Gemara, when it says that there are 48, Rashi later is going to enumerate all of the 48, and he's going to include in the 48 Mordechai himself. So we had four Nevi'im that lived at the time of Mikra Megillah, time of the Purim story, but there were no Nevi'im left at the time of Ner Chanukah, so therefore you cannot say that the Nevi'im added on Ner Chanukah, because this was a later addition.
Was Daniel one of them?
Daniel was one of them as well. If you would like to take a look at the Rashi, it's a long Rashi. It's the Rashi starts here on the right-hand margin, Nevo'a Shehutzrachu L'Doyrois. It's a Rashi about halfway down on the right hand margin. And on the second line, he says, V'chol Hanach Memches, and then he lists all of them. Hilchas Chedoyos, Amnuyen, Miseder Oilam, Avrom, Yitzhak Yaakov, Moshe Baharan, etc. It goes through the 48. And then if you turn to the left hand side, on the fourth line of Rashi, all the way on top, see, he enumerates Daniel. Then after that, on the next line, he has Mordechai Balshon. That's our Mordechai that we're talking about. Anyway, beginning back to our Gemara, Zok Gemara Vayter. Balshin, that it was, the Gemara is going to use that later on, that he was Boilish Lashonis, which means he was a linguist, knew many different languages. Zok Gemara Vayter, my drosh. So now the question is, based on what did the Nevi'im in that time decide to add the Inyan of Purim? So Gemara Omer Pchi Barav and Omer Yishuv Ben Garcha, they made a Kal V'Chomer. Umami Avdus L'Cheiris Amrin and Shira Mimiz L'Chaim L'Koshkein. Madach, in the times of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that we left Avdus L'Cheiris, it wasn't a question of life and death, it was a question of bondage and misery and torture, but the Jews were still alive. And what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He freed them from the bondage of Mitzrayim and took them out, initially to the Midbar and ultimately in Eretz Yisrael. And what did Klal Yisrael do at that time? They said, Shira, Amrina Shira. They said, Shira at the Yam. Memisa L'chaim L'kolshkein. So when you leave a certain death because of the terrible decree of Laharig, Lahashmid, or Lahabed, Lahabed is Kolay Yehudim, no, and then afterwards that was Nepach, the Yogan, the Simcha, etc. Now, Loikoshin, the Chavad, and we have to go and say Shira. Fritimori Hochi, Halal Nami. If that's the case, we should go and say Halal, just like we say on Pesach, we should say Halal. Halinami Neima. And Fritimori Lefishen Oimrim, Halal Al Neshim Chutzlart. The reason is because since the whole Shushan and Poras and Hoyd of Yad Kush, all of this took place in Chutzlart, they didn't institute a halal on a nation b'chutzlar. It's only a nation Eretz Yisrael. Right? Yitzis Mitzrayim, the nation b'chutzlar. It's Eichem Rin Shira. After all, the Kal V'Chomer is based on Yitzis Mitzrayim. Yitzis Mitzrayim, by definition, was a chutzlar. That's where Mitzrayim is. Get a sign that says in the Brisa, Adshol Nichlasu Yisrael Oretz, Hochshu Kol Arotzis Loimar Shira. Mishin Nichlasu Yisrael Oretz, says the Gemara, the answer is that until Eretz Yisrael became the Mokum HaShchinah, that Kodesh Baruch Hu took Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael didn't have any particular Chashivus. And so therefore, Eretz Mitzrayim and Eretz Yisrael were one and the same, and this rule about not saying a Hal on Neshe B'chutz La'aretz didn't apply. However, once we entered Eretz Yisrael, so then we become Klal Yisrael, Shchinah, Eretz Yisrael all becomes like one. From that point on, you could not go and institute any more Shira, and that's why we don't go and say Hallel on Purim, but we do say Hallel on Pesach. That's Teretz number one, why we don't say Hallel. Rav Nachman Amar Teretz number two, Kiryas is Alila, the actual Kriya Samegillah, that is the form of Hallel. It's not the traditional normal form of Hallel, but the whole Megillah lining, that is the substitute, the religious substitute and equivalent of Hallel. Rava Amar Bishleim Hosam Hallel Avdei Hashem V'le Avdei Parei Ela Hocha Hallel Avdei Hashem V'le Avdei Achashverosh Akati Avdei Achashverosh Anan. So what Rav Nachman is, or what Rav is saying is that there's a major difference between Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Maisa of Purim. In the times of Yetzias Mitzrayim, it was only Lecheiris, but then we were free of the bondage of Paroi forever and ever. We never had to worry about Paroi in Mitzrayim, but we were out of Mitzrayim. But over here, Baruch Hashem, we were saved from certain death. However, we still remain the Avodah B'Lachashverish. Therefore, that's not the occasion to still say the full-fledged Hallel, because we can't go and be Mahal that we're now a free people. We were still Avodim to Achashverish. So we have three answers. What was the question? The question was, how come the Chacham didn't institute Hallel on Purim? Answer number one was because you don't say Hallel on a Neis Shebechutz Laretz. Number two, because the Megillah reading itself is a form of Hallel. And the third reason is because we're still Avdei Achashverosh. So Freik Dimara, Bein L'Rova, Bein L'Rav Nachman. Reason number three and reason number two. In other words, the second and third reasons. Kasha V'atanya. Isn't it schwer on them from the first reason? We learned in the Brayta Mishnah Chusul Yisrael, Mishnah Chusul Yaret, Lehuchshur Kolaratzis Lehmeshira, and therefore, once Klal Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael, we don't say Shira anymore. That's a Brayta, and that's it. Rav and Rav Nachman are not going to argue with this Brayta, and so therefore, that's enough of a Teretz. What are you telling me? Because it's Kriyos Zuhalila. Even if we didn't lay the Megillah on Purim, we couldn't say Hallel, because you don't say Hallel on a Nes Shebechutz Laretz. As well as, even if we were no longer Avdei Achashverosh, you don't go and say a Hallel on a Nes Shebechutz Laretz. So what's going on? Why are they coming up with these new terutzim? Do they disagree with this basic rule? The rule that you gave was a very good rule. However, both Rav and Rav Nachman hold that this only applied as long as Klal Yisrael was in Eretz Yisrael. So if there was a Nes happening somewhere else, in Bavel, in Paras, or wherever outside Eretz Yisrael, since the key to Klal Yisrael's survival and Yiddishkeit and relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu was all in Eretz Yisrael, everything else is secondary. You don't go and say Hallel on a nation of Chutzlaretz. However, once, unfortunately, we were thrown out of Eretz Yisrael, we went into Golus. So from that point on, then we go back to the prehistoric situation, like in the times of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that Eretz Yisrael is no longer the focal point of Yiddishkeit and everything, and Torah and Klal Yisrael. So therefore, one can theoretically say Hallel on a nation b'chutz laretz, except for, according to Rav Nachman, the Hallel is the Kriyas HaMegillah, and according to Rav, it wasn't a full-fledged Nes, because we still have the Achashverosh Anan. So Timor Vesulek, Frank Timor Vesulek, you told me that there are only 48 Nevi'im and 7 Nevi'ois. Is that true? Voxiv, v'yi ish echad min harasayim tzoifim. And this is referring to Elkanah. Throughout Tanakh, it refers to Elkanah as being from Ramah or going Haramasa. But this Ramasayim Tzoifim, we only find one time, the beginning of Shmuel, that Elkanah was Men Harasayim Tzoifim. And therefore, the Gemara darshins, Marasayim Tzoifim means Echad Mimasayim Tzoifim Shnisnabu Lehem Liyisrael. The simple interpretation of Ramasayim Tzoifim means there were two mountains that faced each other, each one of them being a tzofa, a place where you saw beautiful scenery, a place that everybody went up and took pictures and said, oh, how beautiful it is. However, the Gemara is actually the word tzofim as meaning Nevi'im, and we had this, if you remember, at the beginning of the Masechta, the Manzapach Tzoifim Omrum, Tzoifim were Nevi'im, and Ramasayim is referring to, says the Gemara, Mosayim. In other words, remove the Reish. The Aleph of Masayim is anyway silent. So it's as if it says, Min HaMasayim Tzoifim, 200 Tzoifim, 200 Nevi'im. The Marsha adds that even the Reish is not totally Ibrik, not totally superfluous, because the Reish itself means the gematria of Reish is 200. So therefore you have the Reish says 200, the Masayim says 200, but don't add them together, otherwise you'd have 400. But anyway, but the point is, in the times of Elkanah, there were 200 Nevi'im, Shenistav L'Hamni Yisrael. And you're telling me that throughout history we only had 48? That doesn't sound right. Evadimar Mihava Tuvahava. There were many, many more than just the 48, and many more than the 200. Kirsan, like it says in the Brisa, Harbin Nevi'im Amdol Mi'Yisrael. Kiflaim Kiyoitz Mitzrayim. Double the number of people that left Mitzrayim. How many people left Mitzrayim? 600,000. So there were 1.2 million Nevi'im over the course of history. Ella, so why did we say only 48? Nevuah Shehutzrecha L'Doyrois Nichtava. All the Nevuah that was important, not only for that generation, but for future generations, that we should learn from it, that was incorporated and written in the Kisvi HaKodesh part of the Nevi'im. B'Shloi Hutzrecha, it was only something for that particular generation, for that particular country, at that particular time. L'Nichtava, that we do not have written down, and therefore there are only 48 which we have in Nevi'im, where their Nevuah was L'Doyrois. Reb Shmuel ben Nachmani Amar Odom Haba Mishtei Romei Shetzoifes Zu Ez Zu. Reb Shmuel ben Nachmani says the simple interpretation that the Ramasayim Tzoifim means that there were two Romeis, two hills, Shetzoifes Zu Ez Zu, that were facing each other. So if you were on top of one hill, it was a clear day, you could go and wave to your friend on the other hill. Reb Chanan Amar Odom Haba Bimnei Odom Sha'in De Marumei Shel Oilem, that Elkanah was a descendant of those people that were standing at the heights of the world. Now, when we look at Rumish Aloylam, we think of perhaps Mount Everest. However, that's not what the Gemara is referring to. But rather, like the Gemara is going to explain, Umad Ninu, these are the Bnei Koirach, the Chsiv of Bnei Koirach Loi Mesu. And the Pella is, why Loi Mesu? After all, Koirach V'chol Ados, they were all swallowed up in the ground. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu made for them a ledge, because the Bnei Koirach, as they were about to sink into the ground, they did tshuva, as opposed to Koirach and the rest. Since they did tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created immediately a ledge for them, and they were able to go and sit on that ledge and hang on to it, and that's how they were saved from having to go all the way down to the Gehenna.
Why Lo Mesu, though? I mean, I understand that they weren't destroyed in the Lo Mesu B'Shas Maisa Korach. Is that what that the... Okay. And what's it... How do you translate Nispatzer?
Nispatzer means, it's like the Lushan of Orim B'tzurais, which means there was a fortification.
Thank you.
There was a fortified ledge there in Gehenna that kept them up. And the more it says Gehenna over here, ultimately it's referring to in the actual physical ground. As everybody else is rolling down, they were able to survive on a ledge. And so that's the reason. So what means Berumei Shel Olam? So Rumei Shel Olam, although literally it means the heights of the world, means that Kadosh Baruch Hu created a Rumei, a height within that Olam down below, that Olam HaTachtoin, where everybody else was falling down into Gehenna, and they were able to be saved. Who are the seven Nevi'im? So the Gemara only goes through the seven Nevi'im, but once again, Rashi goes through the 48 Nevi'im, and that's the Rashi on the right-hand side that we started reading before, from Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, etc., all the way down to the bottom, and then onto the top of the left-hand margin. Rashi comes out at the end, going through a Cheshbon of 46, Unshnayim lo yodati. Rashi says the other two, I'm not sure who they are, right at the end of that Rashi.
Right.
But there is a bays over there, and that bays takes us down to the Grod of Vilna Goyim, and he adds all the way in the bottom, the Hein Chanani v'Odet. Chanani v'Odet were the other two. If you want to know who the Chanani v'Odet were, on the left hand margin next to the Rashi, you have a very long note from the Mesir Seshas. It's Ayin Shom who goes through the Psukim and brings you others. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, so the Sheven and the Vyois Manin, who are the seven Vyois, says Gemara, Sora, that's Sori Menu, Miriam, of course, who was the sister of Moshe and Aharon. We read about her yesterday in the Parsha. And Voira, who was the wife of Barak, Eshes Lapidois. Chana, who was the wife of Elkanah and the mother of Shmuel. Avigail, Chulda, the Esther. We're going to go through all of the seven now in some detail, bringing Rayas, Mekoirois, the sources that these were all Nevi'os.
Rivka wasn't counted as a Nevi'ah?
No. She may have had a degree of Nevi'ah, but apparently not, that didn't rise to the level of what Agamor is saying.
Okay.
Sora Dechsev, Avi Milka, Va'avi Yiska. This is talking about Haran. There were three brothers, as you know, Avram, Nochir, and Haran. And Haran had two daughters. He was the father of Milka and Yiska. Now, who is Yiska? So Rashi already brings this in Chumash from Rav Yitzchak. Yiska zu Sarah. V'lama nikra shmo Yiska. How did she get such an interesting name, Yiska? Shesachsa Ruach HaKodesh. Sorry?
Shakol Sochen.
You, I think, are in the next slide.
I'm sorry.
Nothing happens. We're still best friends.
I jumped.
Nothing happens. It's fine. But this pasuk says Shesachsa Ruach HaKodesh, that she was enveloped just like a lashon sukkah or a lashon soch from a lashon of being smeared. But the point is that she was enveloped with Ruach HaKodesh. Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Avraham Avinu, whatever Sarah says, Sarah was not happy with the conduct of Yishmael. Whatever Sarah says, Shema Bekoila, because she has Nevuah, she knows that he's going to go to Tar B'Sarah, and therefore just follow what she has to say. So that's pshat number one. We see already from this the Soch to Baruch HaKodesh. Everybody was enamored with her great beauty. She was a very attractive person. And Rashi brings it up, Lagabi, that she was 127, that she was 20 like 7 years old, Yoifi, right? 100 like 20 Lagabi Chet, and 20 Lagabi 7 Lagabi Yoifi, that she was very beautiful. Now it's interesting, Rashi in Chumash on this pasuk, Avi Milka Vavi Yiska, brings both pshatim, but he merges the two together without a dover acher. He says, who is Yiska? It's Sarah, Shesach Zabruch HaKoidish, Vishahakoil Soichin Biyoifia. As if it's one pshat that it goes together. These are two separate things. This is Rachnias, this is Ruach HaKoidish, and this is talking about the physical. It talks about, talking about Gashmias. How does the Rashi put the two together? So there's a very interesting word of Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld. Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld says, we know from the story of Leah and Rachel that the Pasuk says that Leah, the Einei Leah Rakois, the Rachel Hoysa, Yifas Toyev, Yifas Mara. And Rashi says in Chumash, why were Einei Leah Rakois? Because all of her peers and all the people that lived at that time said to Leah, ha, 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 when you get older, you know who you're going to go and marry? You're going to go and marry Esav. Because the minig at that time, like it says in the Pasuk, that we cannot go and give the Tz'ir lefnei habachira. We wouldn't do something like that, to go and give away the younger daughter before the older daughter. So therefore, there were two sisters, Leah and Rachel. There were two brothers out there, Esav and Yaakov, and everybody said, Esav is going to go marry Leah, Yaakov is going to go marry Rachel, and Rachel, of course, was very, very happy by hearing those pieces of information, but Leah was very upset, Vein Leah Rakas, I'm going to get stuck with Esav. Freitech, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, shouldn't that have been the same case with Sarah? After all, we have the same situation, we have two sisters, we have Milka and Yiska. Milka being the older one, Yiska being the younger one, Yiska being Sarah Imenu. Haran had two brothers. Who were the two brothers? Avraham and Nochar. Avraham is the older one, Nochar is the younger one. L'chayra, all of Sarah's friends should have said to her, ha, 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 you're going to go and marry Nochar. Milka's going to go and marry Avram Avinu. And therefore, it should save the Einei Sarah Rakoi. She should have been just as upset as Leah. Why wasn't she? And the answer is because she had Soch Saburach HaKodesh. She said to all of her friends, ha ha, you could say, I will have the last laugh, right, because I have Ruach HaKodesh. I know that I'm destined to go and marry Avram, and I'm not going to go and marry Nochar. Because of that, she did not have Einei Sarah Rakois, and because of that, Hakel Seichem Biyofya, she never lost her beauty because she was never crying. So the two work hand in hand. Because Sofsa Baruch HaKadosh, because she knew that she was not going to go and marry Nochar, but she was going to go marry Avram. She was always freilich and happy and joyful. If Hakel Seichem Biyofya, she didn't have a problem of never crying as a child, just like Leah did. Continuing the Gemara. So we went through Sarah. We see that she Sofsa Baruch HaKadosh. She was a nevuah or a neviah. Continuing tomorrow, who's the next online? Miriam. The Chassidut says in yesterday's parsha, "Vatikach Miriam a neviah achuis aharoin." It's a toif biyot. Well, actually, that's not. I'm sorry. I apologize. I know you're right. It's from the Shira. Yes, I apologize. 100% right. Now the question is, why did it say achuis aharoin? Why didn't say achuis Moshe? After all, they were brothers and sisters. What's going on? Or brothers and sister. Why does he achis arim leachas Moshe? Omer of Nachman, Omer Lachish Hoisa, Shehoisa Misnaba, because he achis arim, when she was still achis arim, before Moshe Rabbeinu was born yet, she was already saying Nevuah at that time, Vaymeris. See the Imi, which is Yechevet, she's eventually going to have a child, Shetelet Ben, Shishias Yisrael, she's going to have a child, a son that's going to go and save Klal Yisrael. And when Moshe Rabbeinu was born, the whole house was full of light. So her father, who was the father? Probably Amram, came and gave her a kiss on her forehead. And I see Taka Moshe Rabbeinu, look at all this light. You were 100% right. So we see that she was a Neviah already at that time. Guess what happened? Shortly thereafter, when 3 months later, when Yocheved had to go and throw him into the yard, is that yesterday's parsha?
Yep.
Oh, Baruch Hashem. And now her father came back once again, and this time didn't give her a, not actually a patch, but some a gletel, you know, a nice little gletel. She wants to see what's going to happen at the end. Of course, we know what happened at the end, that eventually this became the grace of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Ben Shei Yeshia Es Yisrael.
I saw something very beautiful about this, just when I
Okay, but before you get to beautiful, so we've concluded now the discussion about Miriam, that Miriam was also a Neviah, just like Sarah Imenu. Yes.
No, just that Miriam, when the daughter of Paro recognizes that this, she conjectures this is one of the children of the Hebrews, she's not thinking of saving him. But Miriam says, "Should I go?" Miriam jumps up with that good chutzpah and says, "Should I get a one of the Hebrew nursemaids to nurse him?"
Right.
She kind of seals the deal that Moshe should be saved. She wasn't just passive. You know, waiting. Does anyone know of any nursemaid from her? Miriam herself goes in and institutes the Yeshua of Moshe from danger.
Very good. So it was self-fulfilling words.
Right. She saw it, but she acted. She wasn't just...
She acted on her words.
She was deliberating. She was hesitating a little bit, daughter of Paro. What should I do with this kid? You know, he's crying. Is it my problem?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, no, let me... And she goes and gets her mother to nurse him.
She was Omer Va'oisa, Omeret Va'osa.
Right.
Exactly. We're up to Devoira. Devoira, the Chassidus says in the Pasuk, Devoira, Isha, Neviah. Oh, it says Lefesh, she was a Neviah, so we don't need to bring any riots. Isha, Neviah, Isha, Slapidos. Okay, now the question is, since we brought the Pasuk already, what means my Isha, Slapidos? Shahisa, Oisa, Psilos, Lamigdash. She made Psilos for the base of Migdash, meaning for the Menorah, she made a Psilos, and that's how she got the name Isha, Slapidos. The other Mephoshim that say Isha, Slapidos, because she was married to Borok. Borok is lightning, which is similar to a Lapid Eish. And that's how she got the name Eshet Lapidos. Anyway,
Lapid is torch.
A lapid is not a torch. A lapid is a flaming fire. So it says in the pasuk, "V'yoshev es tachas toimer." We're talking about Devoira now, and she would sit under a tall palm tree. Pretty much, Maishna tachas toimer. What's up? She sat under a tall palm tree. Amr b'Shimon ben. Here it says Ben Avshalom, but you see on the side it says Ben Avishalom.
Yeah.
And it tells us, look up the Toises in Yom and the Toises in Ksubis. But those Toises in tell us is that the name was not Avshalom, because Avshalom is the name of a Rasha. That was the son of David HaMelech, who made a merida against his father. And as we know, you don't go and call children by the name of Rishon. That was the earlier Tois we had a couple of days ago with Ephraim and Ophraim,
right,
that you don't give the name of a Rasha.
What about Rabbi Yishmael?
Rabbi Yishmael did tshuva b'seif Yomav. That's the reason why we call him
Okay.
Yishmael.
There's no Rabbi Yisrael, you'll notice.
Right.
But no, it says beferish that Shmuel did cheat, and that's why we could say Rabbi Shmuel. So Omer Rabbi Shimon ben Avishalom, two separate words, Avishalom, Shenat Mishum Yichud. What's Yichud? Because people came to the Nevi'ah with their issues, problems, shailas, just like one goes to a Rav, to a Rebbe, and so therefore, if it would be in a private room, then Chas V'Shalom would be a problem of Yichud. That's why she always sat out in the open under a toimer tree, meaning under a palm tree, and specifically under a palm tree as opposed to any other tree, because any other tree typically has long branches and leaves and all the rest, and there can be a little bit of seclusion and privacy, right, etc. But as we know, the palm trees, if you've ever been to Florida, or even if you haven't, if you've seen the pictures, you see these are tall trees. On the top you have what would have been lulavim, but weren't taken down in time. And so therefore, if you sit next to that tree, everybody sees exactly what's going on. So Mishim Yichud. Tomer Acha Nocha Pshat. Ma Tomer Zeh In Li Ela Leiv Echad. Af Yisrael Shebo Yisador Lo Hoyu Lehem Ela Leiv Echad Lavien Sheba Shemayim. Now what means Leiv? Leiv of course means heart. But here we're referring to the sap of the palm tree. Because that sap, usually sap in a tree spreads out in all directions into all of their branches. The palm tree doesn't have branches. Whatever branches it has, they go and cut it off immediately. That's why it's so smooth and going upwards. What happened to all the saps? So the sap all goes upwards. It doesn't spread out into branches. So if you look at Rashi on the left-hand margin in the middle of the Amud Leiv Echad, Sraf Yeshloi, Sraf means sap, Kimoy Ilan, like a normal tree, Aval Inloi Banofav, but there is none that spreads out into its branches. But rather it remains in the trunk, from the bottom to the top. So that's why it's leiv echad. And then some say that that's the reason why a lulav is called a lulav, because loy leiv, it has one heart, meaning that it grows from that sap that goes all the way up. They only had one heart to Kodesh Baruch Hu, that they all, Baruch Hashem, after they did tshuva, they were all, or in the times of Dvoira and Barak, they all had one mind and one heart to Kodesh Baruch. Now we're up to Chana. Chana d'chziv, v'tispal Chana v'toymar, Ola tzlivi b'Hashem, Roma karni b'Hashem. So the Pasuk says, Roma karni, v'le Roma pachi. What does that mean? Karen, of course, means the horn, while a pach means a pach,
jar.
A jar or a container, typically made out of earthenware. And, as the Gemara is going to tell us in a moment, both of these were used at different times for Meshicha. Meshicha means to anoint kings. So it says, Dovid Shlomish and Imshachu Bekeren, they had the fortune that the oil that was used to go and anoint them was extracted from a keren. Extracted, not extracted in the form of from the animal. We mean that it was in a container of a keren, and from that keren, the oil was taken by whoever was doing the anointing. By David it was Shmuel, by Shloim I don't remember, but whoever it was did the Meshicha from the Karen. Therefore Nimshcha Malchusen, so there Malchus went on forever and ever. Mashengen Shol V'yeyu Shenimshchu B'pach Loi Nimshcha Malchusen. However there Malchus was not Nimshch, because it was only in a pach, like earthenware. So the Poshup shot is that a Karen, like a Shofar, is very, very durable. You could have Shofars for hundreds of years ago, but a Pach, any earthenware, as soon as it falls to the ground, it falls and breaks to smithereens. So, Lenim Shechem Ochus, and it's just the texture of the thing, the infrastructure, is much weaker when you're talking about a Pach than a Karen. However, I once heard a shot from the Bnei Soscha. Bnei Soscha's Yortzeit was last week on the right from Dinov on Thursday. And where was that? It was said here in the Bismedish, the rabbi's brother-in-law, Yossi Laufer, Zuntait, married the rabbi's sister, and his older brother, Kopi, the rabbi's brother-in-law is Yossi Laufer. Yossi Laufer's older brother is Kopi Laufer, and he said that the word from the Bnei Soscha, quoting this Gemara. What did he say? He said that, what's the difference between a pach and a keren? That just because you have oil inside the pach, you're telling me, loy nimshcha malchusen. But if it's in keren, nimshcha malchusen. So the Bnei Soscha says, b'derech gematria. If you go and take the gematria of the word pach, it's only two letters, pei and chof. Pei, as everybody knows, is 80. Chof is 20. 20. Pei chof. Look at the Gemara. Pei chof is, so have 80 plus 2. How much is 80 plus 20?
100.
Now let's take the word yimloch. Yud Mem Lamid Chaf. Yud, of course, is 10. Mem is 40. 10 and 40 is 50. Then Lamid is another 30, 30. Is 80. And then again we have a Chaf is 20 is 100. So therefore with Pach, you have Yimloch. He'll be Melech. That's good. Now let's go on to Keren. The gematria of the word Keren, Kuf Reish Nun. Kuf is, of course, 100. Reish is 200. 200 and 100 is 300. And then Nun is 50. 300 plus 50 is roughly 350. Beautiful. Remember that 350? 350 is Keren. Good. Now let's go on to Yimlech Le'olam Vod. Yimlech, we already did 100. That we know. So now we have to do Le'olam Vod. Le'olam, we're doing four letters. Lamed Ayin Lamed Nem. Lamed is 30. Ayin is 70. 30 and 70 100. Is 100. Then Lamed is another 30. How much is that? Is 130. And then the final Mem is 170. Right? 170. So far, so good. Then we add on Voet. Voet is Vav is, of course, 6. Ayin is 70. 70 and 6 is roughly 76. And then Dalet is 4.
80.
Is 80. 80 plus 170 is 250.
And the earlier.
And the earlier Yimlech was 100. So therefore, Yimlech li Olam Vot is 350. Keren. So when you do it with a Pach, you get Yimlech. When you do it with a Keren, it's Yimlech li Olam Vot. Beautiful. That's a Bnei Sasa. Can you imagine? Anyway, so that's what the Gemara says. That she, Chana, was aware of this, and that's why she didn't use the term Rama Pachi Bashem. She said Rama Karni Bashem, because she was a Nevi'ah, and she knew, and she was predicting that eventually the Malchus Dovin Shloima will be Nimshach Le'olam Vod. Masha Ein Kan Shel V'Yeh will only be temporary because it was a Pach and not a Keren. Now, since we mention Chana, we bring a little bit further from her Tefillah. Ein Kodesh Kashem ki Ein Biltecha. She's now praising Hashem because of Shmuel, and she's saying, Kodesh Baruch Hu, there's no one who is as great, as holy, Ein Biltecha, anyone like you. What's the term Ein Biltecha? Om Rav Yehuda Bar Menashe, Al Tikei Biltecha, El Lavaloischa. Lavaloischa means to go and wear out, or in this case, who is going to survive longer. Shleim Kemidis Kodesh Baruch Hu means the Mosav Adam, Midas Mosav Adam, Mas Yerim Avalon Oisoi, his what he creates, go and outlive the individual. You have many of these buildings here on the west side. You look on the cornerstone, you see that it was built in 1894 or 1902 or something, around the turn of the century, between the 1800s and 1900s. And the engineers and the workers and the architect, of course, have long passed away. So their Mas Yadai Mevalon Oison outlive them. Kodesh Baruch Hu, since he is the eternal God, so of course anything that he creates, he always outlives it. So that's ki ein biltech, ein levaloischa. There's nothing that can outlive a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And the pasuk continues on. Ve'ein tsur kelekenu, ein tsayer kelekenu. The word tsayer in this connection means like a sculptor. Odem tsar tsur al gabi. A kosher person makes a sculpture on the wall. Ve'niyochel hatul ba ruach unisham ukvirbayim b'nei miayim. It looks very, very nice. It makes a beautiful painting, beautiful sculpture. But the Maisi can't give it any ruach. And he creates people from the tzur. So that's why in tzur kelekenu, there's no sculptor like Ar Hashem that gives actual life to what he is creating. Okay, we're on to the next one, which is Avigail. Dechsev. Etc. What is this, all of this about? So we have to do a little bit of background history. This is talking about when David HaMelech was fleeing from Shaul, and he came to a town, and there was a rich person there in the town by the name of Nabal, and he, David HaMelech, sent Shluchim to Nabal to ask him for food. And Nabal went and threw the shluchim out. He says, "Who's David? Who's David HaMelech? I don't know him. I don't care for him."
As, it was after he had protected his shepherds and herds from the goyim all the season and everything, and he was shearing. So he was very ungrateful. He was very, very ungrateful.
Very ungrateful, and therefore he was a real typical ingrate.
He was a real novel.
A real novel. Good. David HaMelech said to his shluchim, "You know what? To punish Novel, we're going to go and kill him right now." And he would. Ordered his troops to go and look for Nabal. Before they had a chance to implement that plan, Avigail, who was a tzaddikus and was the wife of Naval, she heard and she realized, uh-oh, David HaMelech is going to go and kill her husband.
He has jurisdiction to kill somebody?
We're not done. We're not finished. Okay. So you're going to see shortly. So she ran to David HaMelech. And she went on her, I would say on her horse, but she went, really went on a chamar, on a donkey. So the pasuk says, "Vayhi recheves al chamar." She's riding towards David HaMelech to prevent him from killing Naval, and she's riding on the donkey. Vayeredes v'seiser ha'har, and she gets down v'seiser ha'har in the darkness and the secret of the har to go to speak to David HaMelech. Now the question is, "Vayitimar v'seiser ha'har min ha'har mebayle?" I should just simply say that she's coming down from the mountaintop. What do you have to say for the seiser ha'har? Om Rabbi Bar Shmuel al iske dam habo min astarim. Oh. Back in Masechtas Brochos, we learned in Daf Dalid that David HaMelech says that he was constantly busy with paskening Marois. For those of you that are not familiar with Marois, Marois means that women, at the end of their menstrual cycle, very often they still see blood, and they have to determine whether that blood is considered to be Nida blood or not Nida blood. In Masechtas Nida, there's a Mishnah that says there are five separate Marois of Dam, where there are Nida blood, and therefore she's Asura Labala. However, if it's a different tint, a different color, then she's Mutaris Labala. So, even today, the Erlecha women go and send their Marois to Rabbanim, so the Rabbanim should go and paskin whether or not it's Nida blood or not, so whether they can go and go to the mikveh, etc. Anyway, so she too, the Seser that we're talking about, Seser Har, means not ledam min hastarim, meaning that she had also done a bedika, and she has this bedika cloth in her hand, and she's showing it to David HaMelech. Omalos, so David HaMelech says to her, "Primarin dam balayla, come on, you can't see at night. You can only really paskin mares during the day, not at night. You can't see it." Amrlois, so she said to him, "Chidanan din nefashis balayla, can you go and be done in nefashis because you're paskining against my husband to go and kill him?" Your question. Can you go and be done? After all, the Bezin is only open during the day, and that's when they have to go and make their decisions. Rashi brings the Pasuk. Dinu lahoiker mishpat, vahoiker sam Hashem neger hashamesh. If you want to go and execute someone, you got to do it during the day, not at night. Amalah said back to her, Moed b'malchus, since he was a Moed b'malchus, he is rebelling against the king. A king doesn't need a dentoira, doesn't need a Bezin. The king has the right to go and execute him on his own. On Beloy, so she said to David HaMelech, with all due respect, Adain Shol Kayim, Shol is still formally the king, and even though you've made major inroads, V'liyotze Tevacha Bo'ilam Elamaisi, you're still not king yet. On Beloy, so David HaMelech responded to her, Boruch Tamech Ubruch At, Asher Kilisani Hayom Bezeh Miboy Bedom. He said to her, "Oi, I thank you so much, Baruch Ta'amech." Ta'amech means the logic and the reason that you brought to the table, that you said that I don't have the authority to go and kill him. You're right, so I thank you, and you should be blessed. And you should be blessed, Asher Kilisani, you stopped me, Hayoyim Bezeh, this day, Miboy Bedomim, from Chas V'Sholem, being over of killing someone without his having gone to trial. The point that Yair was making a few moments ago.
Ariel,
and those, the letters are pretty similar. But you're right, Ariel. Thank you. Anyway, so the Gemara says, Domim, why does it say Boy Bedam? L'chosh say me Boy Bedam. So the Gemara, Domim, Tarti Mashma. It sounds like we have two different types of Dam. Rashi says, Dam Nida Ushvichas Domim. So what does that mean? Ella says, Yom Allah, Mech Shagilze Eshoika, V'holach Li Oira Gimel Parsois. From this we see that she was Megala. Megala means that she revealed her thigh, and he, David HaMelech, was able to go, and now literally what it means is he was able to go and walk and travel after her to the shine of that thigh, Gimel Parsois. Now, of course, that sounds very, very difficult. Toisis in the middle of the Omid already asks, third Toisis, down, Shkol Tzeshuka, the Kosha, Heich Oisit Tzedekis, Gil Tzeshoika, Lefnei David, how is that possible?
She's still married woman to Novel.
Exactly, but even if she wasn't, after all, the thighs don't shine; they're not radiant. And so, gimel parsoi. What are you talking about? Not li oira means the light, but ura means the heat. Kloimar le ur shelo. Now, Toisis doesn't say everything. The Rabbi Yankov Emden in the back of the Gemara explaining this, Tosis says that she was Megala Shoyken, not having to entice David HaMelech. She was a married lady and she was at Tzedekis, like Rashi said. They're missing a few words in the Tosis, says Rabbi Yanki Venden, and that is she was adjusting her clothing for whatever reason. It was coming up, going down, so he's adjusting. And therefore, by accident,
she exposed her thigh.
She exposed her thigh for a moment. But David HaMelech saw that at that moment, and he got very heated up because apparently she was very attractive, and therefore, as a result, he followed her for Gimel Parsois. So it doesn't mean La Oira to go and see that the light, but like Tosis says, the Ura, he was heated up, he had a very strong desire. So what happened? It's explained to Bianca Vemden with this Tosis, with the Gemara, that what we learned before is now a follow up. That he comes to her, and she has a taina on him and says, I hear you're going after Nova, my husband. You're not the king yet. You don't have the right to do that. So he said to her, but maybe we can perhaps live together. The Gemara is going to say in a moment, continuing on the Gemara, Omalo Hashmili, maybe you listen to me, meaning maybe we can live together. Omalo, so she said to him, no. The reason why we can't is because I have, even besides the fact that I happen to be a married lady, look, I have the Mara, the Bedika cloth, which shows that I'm still a Nida. Oh, Nida, he'd be very careful. That's what David HaMelech says, but I can't go and look at the Nida blood. Oh, you can't kill my husband either. So therefore says the Rashi, that's what the Gemara meant. Boruch Tamech Ubrucha At, I thank you, Avigail, from preventing me from two possible Isurim. Number one, from Shvichas Damim, and number two, from living with you by your showing me this Mara. Now the Mefarshim asked, but isn't there a third problem? Aren't they, after all, she's a married lady, she's married to Nova. And the answer is, since it was David HaMelech's anticipation, and it was his mission that night that Nova be killed, so he was going to live with her post his being killed, and therefore she would no longer be a married lady. At that time she would already be, quote-unquote, an almana. Therefore she said, that doesn't work either, because I'm a nida, and therefore you can't go and live with me. But we know that a similar situation happened years later
with
a Bat Sheva, and that's why now Abigail says to David HaMelech, Loisia Zois Lecho Lefuka, what has just happened now, this is not going to Chas V'Shalom land you up in trouble. The Fuka over here means, Rashi says, K'moyfik Berkayim, which means you're not going to do an Aveira now, because I've saved you by giving you this Mara, showing you that I'm to be a Nida. However, unfortunately, you're going to have a future problem. So it's Machlal de Ikachriti, that this won't be a problem, this will not be on a demerit on your balance sheet, but there will be a future situation, mind you, that's a Maisa de Basheva, with all of its attendant problems and issues.
How do we rectify that David had the right to kill him when Shaul was still king?
That's what she corrected him. She said,
But then he ended up going ahead and killing.
No,
he didn't. He didn't. Noble died of a stroke that night.
He didn't.
By the way, just I one of my favorite Gemaras is tomorrow, and it mentions Avigail, one of the four most beautiful women in history.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so a flash of her thigh was intoxicating. Just, she's one of the four beautiful women of the Gemara mentions.
Is Sarah one of them?
Sarah, Avigail, Rachav, and Esther. Are the four most beautiful women. Tomorrow's Gemara.
Walked the earth.
Right, exactly. So Avigail was extraordinarily beautiful.
Beautiful. So you hear it. Right, middle of the Armatan.
Yeah.
Avigail.
She's also cerebral, not just.
Right, she's very clever. Very
beautiful.
Clever.
Yes.
Very clever.
The beauty also and came from cerebral.
And she was in the Via to top it all. Right. She was a prophetess. So anyway, so that's the story.
So where is the prophecy here?
The prophecy is that she said that this is not going to be a problem, but there's going to be a problem in the future. She predicted that there's going to be a problem with Bat Sheva and with Uriah Hiti.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the ride that she's in Aviyah. Zog Timar, and that Timar says, my new master Bat Sheva. Maskona Hochiav, and the Maskona Taka, that's what happened. That was a problem. Okay, now the Gemara brings Vohis and Nefesh Adoni Tzuru B'Tzura Chaim. The Marsha and other Mefarshim really note that this pasuk seems to come out of nowhere, out of left field, because there's nothing previously and nothing later that relates to this pasuk. But the Gemara continues on. Ki havas miftura minei, when finally Avigail said or bid farewell to David, David bid farewell to her. Amr Leza, she said to David Melech, Vehitav Lashem Ladoni V'Zachar to Es HaMasecha. Kadosh Baruch Hu should go and bench you, that everything should go well, and remember me in future times. Amr Rav Nachman, Hayde Amr Inchi, that's what people have the expression, Itza Bahadishuta Pilcha, Ikadiyamri, Shafal V'ozl Bar Avza, Ve'inoyi Mitayfi. What the Gemara is telling us is, by using these words with Chartes HaMasecha, she was saying something where later years people use an expression which seems to have a parallel to what she said. What is the expression? It's a woman, Bahadi Shuta, when she is talking Pilcha, she's weaving at the same time or spinning wool at the same time. What does that have to do with what we're talking about? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi is about 10 lines higher than where we are in the Gemara. It's about 6-7 lines into the narrow lines. Bahadi Shuta Pilcha. Imshu Isha Medeberes. With a person that the woman is speaking, Hitova, she continues to go and spin the wool or spin the thread.
Does that mean she's spinning a yarn?
Yes, definitely. And a tall tale at the same time. Kaloimar, Im Shehi Medeberes, with whom she is speaking, Imoy, Al Bala, even if she's speaking about her husband, his skira loy es atzma, she was reminding him in a subtle way, Shim Yomus Isa, and if eventually Novo passes away, that David HaMelech should have her in mind for a possible shidduch. And so therefore, that's what she was saying, don't forget about me in case the time should happen in the future that I would be available.
I don't understand the spinning the yarn and talking. Could you explain
that? The spinning the yarn is because that Shelley should be happy that he should be able to add a beautiful witticism to our discussion. But the Lashon of the Gemara means that although at this point the reason why she would... Well, let's start again. The simple translation of the words is that although she is engaged in a conversation, at the same time she's able to do two things at one time.
Multitasking,
exactly. But the Gemara means to say in a more... Sorry?
But when you spin a yard, you're building or creating a story.
Ah, exactly.
And it's not necessarily happening.
Like put a spin on something?
Put a spin on something, yeah. Well, but that's not...
Spin, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Very good. And if you're doing a lot of spinning, then you're going to have a lot of stories, and it's going to be a tall building. Okay, but let's get back to the Gemara. So the point of the Gemara is that a woman can multitask. But here what the Gemara is saying, not only can she multitask, although she's speaking in favor of her husband, Novo, she is parenthetically saying, and don't forget about me. That as long as I'm married to Novo, okay, we're husband and wife. But Chas v'Sholom, if and when he ever passes away, I'm still around and
so
come,
is
come,
like
come on.
So talking from both sides of her mouth?
I wouldn't say that.
Strong?
I think it's much too strong.
Subtle,
because
she's a subtext. And by the way, she's also in Via because he died that night of a stroke.
Good.
Natural causes. So she's anticipating that he's going to drop dead.
Right.
Eventually, for sure.
But Bimei Ravi Humeinu, I mean, he died that very night.
Understood. But Imar doesn't quote that, but perhaps that would be further support. Right. But Ikadiyama, the other expression that people use is Shofel Ba'ozel Bar Avza. Bar Avza, that's what the art scroll translates it. But remember, years ago, Ramunyu Bakenroth was here, and he said the word Avza is a goose, but a Bar Avza is a duck. Whether it's a goose or a duck doesn't really make a difference. That's Rabbi Cohen. Then the Shofel Ba'ozel Bar Avza, if you ever see ducks or geese when they're in the water or just walking on the ground, they're always looking downwards, right? Their head is bent over as if they're looking down on the ground. However, they know you, but the eyes, metaife, they see far away. So although it looks like they are looking straight down, but their eyes are going straight ahead and they can see straight. So the heads are bent over, but the eyes are looking straight. That's the next Rashi, metaife tzuifin lemeirochik. So here too, we're saying about Avigail, that although at the moment she's still married and she acts like a wonderful married wife to her husband, but nevertheless her mind and her thoughts and her eyes have that vision in the future that eventually she may become an almana, and so therefore David should consider her if and when that were to occur. And as Barry will remind you, it happened in fact that night, etc., etc. Anyway, with this we've concluded the discussion about Avigail. And we go on to Chulda. Dichsev would say about Chulda. Ve'yel chelkiyo ha'koyim v'achikam v'achbor v'goymer. And the Gemara leaves out the key words that indicate that she was a Nevi'ah, because the Pasuk itself says that she was a Nevi'ah. Where is that Pasuk? Let's look it up. We have Dalet on the base. And we have the Gemara here. And the Pasuk is Ve'yel chelkiyo. That's in Dalet. That's a pasuk in Melachim Beis. Vayelechim kiyo hakoyin, vaachikam, viachbar, vishofan, vaasoya, el cholda hanevia. Oh, so it says very clearly that she was a neviah. So we don't have to bring any other proof. It's in the pasuk called a neviah. Eishes Shalom ben Tikva ben Charchas, Shemar the God of Yeshevas b'Yishaloyim, v'Mishnah v'Yidabroila. Bottom line is we have a pasuk over here that says that she was a neviah. Good. We're going to come back to this pasuk a little bit later, but we know she's a neviah. Now the question is, what is all of this about? Who is this? Why did Chilkiyahu HaKohen and Achikam, why did they all go to Chulda Neviah? So left unsaid in the Gemara is that in Tanakh it says that we're talking about Yoshio HaMelech. Yoshio HaMelech, as we know, was an Erlich king, was a good king. And the Beis HaMikdash had not been renovated or repaired for over 200 years. And Yoshio HaMelech said, it's about time, things are starting to look a little bit shabby, we have to do a major renovation program.
Infrastructure. Just for context, who is Yoshio's father of Russia?
I think it's Yoshio ben Amoin. Not sure that he was a Russia, but he was considered to be a shining light.
And this
among
is the king of Judah or Israel?
Of Judah.
Okay.
So Yoshio HaMelech, who was in Yerushalayim, and said that the Beis HaMikdash needs to be renovated, let's go and do a major renovation. So Chilkiyo was the coin. I'm sorry?
Build it back better.
Build it back better?
Build it back better.
Build it back better.
Infrastructure.
Yeah, infrastructure. Okay, Shkoyah. Yeah. Thank you. Build it back better. Good. Okay, so anyway, so the bottom line is that Chilkiyo was a Kohen Gadol, and he started looking over what needs to be rebuilt, what needs to be renovated, and they did a major, major search of every nook and cranny, and guess what? And he comes up with a Sefer Torah that had been hidden in the Beis HaMikdash for many, many, many years, and nobody knew of its existence. Okay? Some Forshim say that that Sefer Torah was written by Moshe Rabbeinu. Regardless, Chilkiyo took out the Sefer Torah, opened it up, and guess what? You would have thought that it would be at Bereishis, but in fact, it was opened up to the Toichacha, and specifically to the pasuk that says, "Yoylech Hashem oischa v'esmalkecha." Kadosh Baruch Hu said in the Toichacha that if Chas v'Shalom Yidden are not going to do tshuva, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to send them all into Golus v'esmalkecha together with their Melech. This Sefer Torah was sent to Yoshio. He opened it and he was aghast by this prediction, and he said, let's go and ask the Nevi'im what they think. So he sent all of these wonderful people, Chilkiyo and Achikam and Achbar and others, to Chulda HaNevi'ah to ask her for her interpretation. And the Gemara doesn't understand. U'bamokim dekoy Yirmiyah hechi misnavi'i. Yirmiyah lived at the same time as Chulda HaNevi'ah. Shouldn't Yoshio have sent the Shaila to Yirmiyah? Chulda was a kroiva, she was a cousin or whatever, she was a mishpacha. And Yirmiyah said, fine, you know, Chulda, she's a wonderful person, she's a neviah. You can go and send to her, it's not a problem. Okay, so Yirmiyah is a very nice, generous person. Why would he go and send to Chulda and not to the famous Yirmiyah? Because women have more rachmanis. And therefore, if in fact this nevuah, as we see it in the Toichacha, is true, I'm hoping that Chulda, being an isha, she's a rachmanis, it'll be better. And the Mefarshim ask, one second, nevuah is a message sent by Hashem down to this earth. And the Novi and the Nevi'ah, all they are just messengers. So the fact that she's a lady, how is that going to change the nevuah? Yermi is going to say to the boy, she's going to say to the boy, what difference does it make that she's a Noshim Rachmoni is saying? So say the Mephoshim, because as soon as Chulda gets this Nevi'ah, that Chas V'Shalom, Ganz Klal Yisrael, the Melech are all going to be sent into Golus, the first thing she's going to do is she's going to take out a Tillim and she's going to start crying her heart out to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu, go and save Klal Yisrael, don't do it. Mashenkein men don't have that same sensitivity, if you will. And so therefore, they might only open up half of the Tillim, or they only open it the next day. I think Shelley has a comment to make.
Versus Yimira, who's a prophet of doom.
Ah.
And who would give it to
him? Very good. Shkoyach. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara, that's why he sent the
Chulda. Well, Israel are Rachmanim, Paishanim, and Duma Chasadim.
That's right. So they have that in addition.
Take it to another level.
Another level. Exactly right.
Okay.
Beautiful. So that's the first tense. The reason why I didn't send to Yirmiyah because he wasn't around. Yirmiyah had traveled away. Now, what was he? He was on international Jewish tour. What was the purpose of this international Jewish tour? Shaholach lehachzir aser shvatim. He had a mission to go and bring back the aser shvatim who had been sent away by Sancheiriv years before. He brought it to bring them back to Eretz Yisrael. And in fact, he was successful, as we'll see in the Gemara shortly. How do we know that they came back to Eretz Yisrael? Now, this is a pasuk in Yecheskel, where Yecheskel Hanavi is saying to Klal Yisrael that Yovel still applies today in the times of Yecheskel, because Ruboy of Klal Yisrael is living in Eretz Yisrael. However, if the time shall come where the Rav of Klal Yisrael is no longer in Eretz Yisrael, they leave Eretz Yisrael, then Yovel will end, because the Pasuk uses an expression, all the Yoshev Malea, all the people that are sitting and living in Eretz Yisrael. Aha, so it's got to be the cross and draw of the Chol Yoshveha, Tarshan the Gemara, the Chol Yoshveha, Bezman Shekol Yoshveha Olea. So if they're in Golis, then there is no Yovel. So now the Gemara is asking, Yecheskel is now saying, Ki Amoichel Amim Kar Lo Yoshev. Since the Aseres HaShvatim had already been sent away in the times of this Pasuk of Yecheskel, so then Yovel had already become bottle. So why is Yecheskel predicting for the future that Yovel will be bottle? Ki Amoicher El Amim Kar Lo Yoshev. The one of the major rules of the Yovel is that all of the Steachuzes, etc., go back to their original owners every 50 years. And Yecheskel is saying, you know, what's going to happen in the future? It's not going to return because Yovel is going to become bottle. So, Frank Timura, Yovel was bottle already because 10 Shvatim are in Golus, 10 out of 12. Roiv Rubi of Klal Yisrael is not in Eretz Yisrael. So, what's this future statement? It's already in the present. Efshe Yovel bottle and Ovi Mesnabi Olav Shevatel. El Malavichi Yermi Hachsiron. Oh, Yermi brought them back. And therefore, at least for that short period of time, Yovel reappeared and was reignited and re-effective once again. Ah, so that's why he's saying, but unfortunately, says Yecheskel, but this is not going to last for long. It's going to be terminated once again.
So Jeremiah brought back the 10 tribes?
Correct.
So when were they re-exiled?
Later on, at the same time that the people of Judah were exiled, which was in times of Tzidkiyahu HaMelech, at the times of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, they also.
Isn't that a momentous occasion? Why isn't it brought down in the scriptures?
We should all be standing now and dancing. It is very momentous, except that we have to finish the plot, and it's already more than an hour. But we agree.
I'm not here to.
No, you're doing beautifully. There are Mephoshim, by the way, that say the art school brings in the footnote that not that he was Zohar to bring back all of the Seres HaShvatim, but he was able to go and bring back people from each one of the Aseres HaShvatim. And even though that didn't constitute Roiv Yoshveha, but they say that when the Gemara says that Roiv of Klal Yisrael has to be living in Eretz Yisrael, it just means that Roiv of the Shvatim have to be living in Eretz Yisrael. And since he brought back Eden from every one of the 10 Shvatim, besides the two that were there, so now we have from Roiv of the Shvatim, in fact we have from all of the Shvatim. Therefore, Yovel was reinstituted, but was only reinstituted for a very short period of time, because shortly thereafter, in the times of Tzidkiyahu, unfortunately, everybody went to Golus, not only the two Shvatim, but all 12. Anyways, getting back to our Gemara, the Yeshio ben Omoin Molech Alein, the Yeshio that we're talking about over here that sent the message to Chulda, he became king not only over the two Shvatim, over Yerushalayim, etc., but over the entire Eretz Yisrael, all 12 Shvatim, the Chassidus, and the Bosom, and Yoimer, Ma'atziyun Halaz Asher Ni Roye, V'yoimu Eilav Anshe Yair, HaKever, Ishua L'kim HaShabom, Yehuda V'yikra Esadvar, Ma'ila Asher, Osis Alam Esbeach, V'Beisel. This story is taking place in Beisel. Beisel was in Yehuda V'Shomron, like it is today, and it wasn't part of the two Shvatim of the Yehuda Binyamin, and therefore this was part of the Aseres HaShvatim. And now Yeshio HaMelech is coming to that place, to Beisel. He sees it's a Tzion. Tzion means that there is a caver there, and that there is a marking showing that it's a caver. And he asks, what's that caver? The Anshir said, that caver is an Ishwalakim. There was a Novi here, Ashibom Yehuda, that came from Yehuda. And he had already predicted what you were going to do on the Mizbech of Beisel. Our Gemara doesn't tell us what Yoshio HaMelech did in the Mizbech of Beisel, but Rashi tells us that he burned the atzomis, the bones of the komrim of the apikorsim that were the komrim, the galochim in Beisel, that they were going and bringing korbanos on a Mizbeach, Sha'asa Yeravim ben Nevat. So these are a bunch of bad guys, and Yeshiol HaMelech went and burned their bones on those Mizbeachis, on those very altars that were used by Yeravim and his followers. Anyway, so what do I see from this pasuk? What is he doing in Yerushalayim? After all, he's based in Yerushalayim. He only has the two shvatim. Why is he going into the area of the 10 malachim, of the 10 shvatim? That after they were returned by Yermia, then Yeshua became king of all 12 shvatim. And so Mela, he went and traveled all over, and he came to Beisel, which was part of his malchus. Rav Nachman Omiyach, I have another raya, Gam Yehuda Shosk Tzirloch B'Shuvi Shvus Ami, that Yehuda is also Shosk Tzir. Now the word Tzir over here doesn't mean harvest. Rashi says, Osa Chayil Ugdula, that he went and got a tremendous prestige and greatness and strength. B'Shuvi Shvus Ami, when my nation was returned. So what means that he got, that's Chayil Ugdula, that he became king over all 12 Shvatim and not just over the 2 Shvatim. And with this, we have concluded the discussion about Chulda, and now we come to the final one, which is Esther. Esther Malchus. She put on Malchus. She put on Malchus. Big day Malchus, Ruach HaKodesh. The word over here, that Fatilbash Esther Malchus, is not referring to the royal garb, but means that she had the levush of Ruach HaKodesh, Ksivach, Vatilbash, Vatilbash, Uksivhasim, Vruach Lovsha, Esamasai. Just like by Amasai, he was a Novi, and the Ruach is the Ruach HaKodesh Lovsha. Here too, the Ruach HaKodesh was Lovsha, Esther HaMalkin. Amram Nachman, Loyo Yerusalem Nashi. It's not good to have Yerusalem, means Gaiva. Gaiva is not good for women, it's not good for men either, but the more is particularly focusing on women because of two stories that we're going to talk about. Tarti Nashi Yehiran Havyon V'Sanyon Shemayu. He had two women that were very proud, and if you will, they were slightly pompous. Rashi over here doesn't say Yehiran. Normally the word Yeharusa means pompous or arrogant. Here Rashi uses the term that they were women of prestige, the women of prominence. Rashi says, Leinoa Chashivus Lenoshim. And you'll see what the Gemara means. Besanyon Shemayah, their names were, if you will, rejected names, not such beautiful names. Chodesh Moziburta, one of them had the name of a bee, and we all know nobody likes bees, particularly when you're sitting in the sukkah with the honey, and then all the bees come flying in, and get out of here. So now Ziburta, who is this referring to? Says Rashi, it's referring to Devoira, Devoira Hanaviyah. Right. The word Devoira means a bee. And the other one had the name of Karkushta, which means a weasel, and weasel is also the word chulda. A chulda means a weasel, right? We had that in Maseches Psachim, that the chulda went and took the chametz from one place to the other. Why did she take the chametz early? Because she knew that the next day there wouldn't be any chametz around because Klal Yisrael was going to burn it. And the Gemara says the chulda neviyah was chulda neviyah. In fact, the chulda was a neviyah, but not that chulda. The chulda from our Gemara, but not the chulda of that Gemara. Anyway, b'chodesh mor karkushta, one had the name chulda. Ziburta, that's dvoira ksibar, says v'tishlaf atikra leborak. She went and called to Barak that Barak should come to her. It would have been proper if she wanted to speak to Barak, and Barak was her husband, she should have gone to him. So we see that the prestige and prominence that she got went to her head, and therefore she wanted Barak to come to her. That's what Yomar is saying, that it didn't work out. Le'yoh Yerusalem Ashi. Similarly, Karkush is referring to Chulda, Ksibba, Imrali Ish, Le'amra, Imrali Melech. She sent back a message to Yoshio HaMelech, so she said, go and tell the man. And she didn't say, go and tell the king. We're talking about the king, Yoshio, we shouldn't be talking about the man. So therefore, that's the marshal that the Gemara is telling us, that Le'yo Yerusalem Ashi. Right. Omrim Nachman, Chuldam and Nebanav Shel, it'll say B'nei Banav, it really means B'nois Banav, after all, B'nei Banav literally sounds like a male progeny, and she was a lady. Anyway, so it means that she was from the grandchildren, descendants of Yehoshua Hoyser. How do I know that she was an Amik of Yeshua? Ksiv Hocha Ben Charchas. That's a pasuk that we brought before. The Gemara brought that before as the pasuk Dalid. And then it says in the pasuk, Ben Tikva Ben Charchas. Ben Tikva Ben Charchas. So the word Charchas is used, and here it's referring to Uksiv Hosam, and by Yeshua it says Besimnas Cheres. So the similarity of the word Charchas and Cheres, the more darshan that she was an enikel of Yeshua. Eisvei Ravina, Ravina Saba. Remember, Ravina Saba. We're going to have that in another couple of lines. Ravina Saba asked Lirav Nachman Shmoyin Neviim Vehim Koyhanim Yotzim Rochav Azoina. Rochav Azoina had 8 enikelach. All of them were Shmoyin Neviim, and they were Kahanim. Rochav Azoina, as you know, there are two interpretations. Either it means that she was a Zoina, the Poshim Shat, or it says that she was the innkeeper that she supplied Mazoinas to people. Anyway, who were the 8 that came from Rochav Azoina? Ve'elahein, Neria, Baruch, Bisharoya, Osaroya, Machasya, Yermia, Chilkia, Hanamel, Vishalom. Okay, so those are the 8. We're going to talk about more about them later on the Omid and tomorrow, at the beginning of the Nublat tomorrow. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Af Chulda Neviim Emnei Bnei Asher Rochav Zayin. She was also an Enikel. How do I know? Hoisa. Ksiv Hocha Ben Tikva. That's Ben Tikva Ben Charchas that we read. Uksiv Hosam Es Tikvas Chuta Shani. That's what it says by Rochav. So you have here Tikva and here Tikva. So we learn one from the Gzei Shav. We learn from that she was an Enikel of Rochav. So the Gemara is asking, how can she both be an Enikel of Yeshua and be an Enikel of Rochav Azayna?
Very simple. Yeshua married Rochav.
Wait one more moment. It's Omer Leh. So remember, it was Rav Eina Saba who asked this question to Rav Nachman. So Omer Leh, Rav Nachman called him and said, Eina Saba, the Amri Lo Pasya Uchma. The Pasya Uchma on the surface is not a very generous term, because Pasya Uchma means like black bread or black something rather.
Black vessel.
I'm sorry?
A black vessel.
In other words, like the Gemara says in the bottom of the Shule Kedera.
Right, on the back pat.
So it's not very complimentary. On the other hand, this Gemara is used, this expression, Pasya Uchma, we had back in Tanis, when the Gemara is talking about Yeshua ben Hananiah, that Yeshua ben Hananiah was a very ugly individual,
right.
And they asked about him too, aren't you a Pasi Uchma, why are you so ugly, etc. And he said, well, all the other Tamid Chacham, if they were as ugly as me, then there would be greater Tamid Chacham, because of the fact that they're handsome, they spend more time on frivolous activities.
Right. Put your wine in gold and silver kalim and see how it lasts.
Exactly. So what the Gemara is telling us is, although it's not on the surface, it doesn't sound very complimentary. However, the Mefarshim say Pasi Uchma means you happen to be like the Pasi Uchma, like Yeshua ben Hananiah and other greats. You're a great Talmud Chacham. Mini uminach this time Shmeitzer. Combining what I said of Yeshua and what you said of Rochav Azoina, the two together will have the answer. The Igaira, eventually Rochav Azoina was Megayeres and she became Jewish. And also Yeshua, and Yeshua went and married her. And so therefore, one of the Einiklich was none other than Chulda Hanaviyah. Pray tomorrow, be Havala Yisrael, Yeshua, did Yeshua have any children? Boxing the Chaposik in Dibrei Yomim. The Pasik Dibrei Yomim goes through all the generations, and it says Nun, and then Beno Yeshua, that's Yeshua bin Nun, and then Yeshua, it says Nun Benoi, and Yeshua Benoi. But after that, it doesn't continue on any children of Yeshua. It just says Nun, and then it says Yeshua, and then it stops. So it sounds like Yeshua didn't have any children. Everything more, you're right, partially. Bonnie Loy Havale. Yes, Shelley, please share some words of witnesses.
That Yeshua had a daughter.
Yeah.
It's hers.
That's why you don't see the generations.
Uh-huh. Ah, good. So says the Gemara. Thank you very much for helping us out. Bani loy havale. In fact, Yeshua did not have any sons. But benazan havale. But he did have daughters. And Rochav, in fact, not Rochav. And Chulda was not a descendant of a son, but she was a descendant of a daughter. And therefore, hakol mekayim yom b'shalom. To be continued. And miyat Hashem vayta tomorrow. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisai.